Let the Devin Levi era begin. It's happening Friday night against the New York Rangers.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We got news to get to on today's show pertaining to the Sabres goaltending situation, specifically for Friday night against the New York Rangers. Talk a little bit about that. I've got a conversation for you about Tage Thompson's injury and how much we think it's been affecting him, not just right now, but throughout the course of the second half of the season. I got some numbers for you on how different the first half versus the second half of Thompson's seasons have been. Even a little maybe Josh Allen comparison for you between Tage and the Bills starting quarterback. And then part two of our mailbag edition of yesterday's show. So that's all ahead here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. If you're looking to get involved with the show, two ways to do that. At Locked On Sabres on Twitter. Right underneath it, reply any questions, comments that you want. We'll get it on the air. YouTube channel in the comment section there as well. Keep it clean, and we'll read what's going on. So the big news, though, for the Sabres on Thursday, and this actually started late Wednesday night with Kevin Weeks of ESPN reporting it, that Devin Levi was finally going to make his NHL debut for the Sabres Friday night against the New York Rangers. And there it was on Thursday at practice, Levi with the net all to himself, Comrie and Lukanen splitting the other net, and it is going to be Levi's net for Friday. By the way, maybe interesting that Craig Anderson's being phased out a little bit. I wonder if his season is over just because there are four guys and the Sabres might want to get a look at the other three for next season, as you know, Anderson, most likely this is it for him. Maybe he gets one more game. If they're out of it, we'll see. But the Devin Levi era is beginning. It's happening Friday. And it's an interesting spot for it. I thought maybe Monday because Montreal, even before that, I knew there were immigration issues with Levi, I thought Nashville because softer opponent at home, you know, try to let him get his feet wet against the team that you shouldn't be that challenged against. They're throwing them right to the fire. Here come the New York Rangers. The Rangers are a great team. They are sixth in the NHL in terms of points. They are, you know, one of the higher scoring teams in the league. They're above average, not quite the top tippy top, but they're above teams like Colorado and Vegas and Carolina and Pittsburgh and Washington. Like, they're a good scoring team, as we know, very deep up front, adding Patrick Kane, Vladimir Tarasenko right before the trade deadline. And they're putting Levi in against that team. That's a juggernaut. Now, it'll be interesting how, one, of course, Levi plays. That'll be the most interesting part. And, you know, fans will want to be in attendance for that, I'm sure. One of the better games to go to for the rest of the year. Ranger fans really filled up that place, KeyBank Center, the last time they played just a couple of weeks ago. But this game, you have a big reason to want to go see it. Devin Levi, I mean, go see a debut. It's the most anticipated Sabre debut since when? Like, I might even want to put him over guys like Owen Power, not because I think he's going to be better than Power, just because goalie versus defenseman. It's a lot easier to watch a goalie make his debut than a defenseman. You got to actually, you know, look out for what the blue liner is doing. Dahlin, maybe a little bit the same thing. It might be the most anticipated prospect debut since Jack Eichel, honestly, because Eichel was a forward, you know, that factors into it a little bit. And there was a whole season given away to get him. Levi, there's been so much buildup and he's playing in a position where he's always on the ice. Very easy to evaluate if you're a fan. And it is the biggest hole on the roster. And he is the savior, right? He's the savior to come save us. So a lot on the line, a lot to watch for. And I'll be very interested to see how Granato plays this if it's not going well. I don't want to just sit here and assume it's not going to go well. I told you multiple times in the last week or so that I think there's an argument to be made. Levi gives them the best chance to make the playoffs right now just for that unknown factor. You know Anderson can't play enough to do it. You know Comrie hasn't done it all year. And you know Lukanen is too raw still to do it. Maybe Levi. Maybe not, but maybe Levi. So I think it could go well, of course. But I wonder how Granato will play it if he doesn't. Because one of the criticisms I've had of Granato is how he handles pulling goaltenders. He left Comrie in there for 10. He left Lukanen in there for 7. He left Anderson in there for 6 through 2 periods against Nashville. What would he do with Devin Levi? Now, Levi has also told a story about when he was at Northeastern, where early on in his career, his coach tried to pull him, and he said no. He defiantly is like, I'm not leaving this net. And he went back. He stayed in there. He played great the rest of the way. He went on a torrid stretch, you know, over the next dozen games or so after that. So you got a goalie doesn't like getting pulled. Most goalies don't like getting pulled. But this guy is extra with the fieriness and the competitiveness. Like, it's there. That burning desire, you could just feel it from Levi. He said, you know, when being asked about starting on Friday, he said, well, you couldn't keep the beast contained for too long, referring to himself as the beast. I mean, the guy's got ultra confidence. And I think Granato, you know, the way he's been very conservative with his netminders, if the Rangers start getting after Levi a little bit, I think he'll let him, you know, fight his way out of it. And by the way, if that does happen, again, I'm not trying to make it sound like I think that's going to, it could. But if it starts to struggle, you know, 4, 5, 6 goals, something like that, just keep in mind, a lot of the Sabre goaltenders of the past have had really rocky starts to their career. In fact, really all the guys you would think of right away have. Dominic Hasek allowed 10 goals in his first 2 starts for the Buffalo Sabres and lost 10 of his first 13, if you want it. Ryan Miller allowed 4 goals in his debut for the Sabres. Marty Baron, as an 18-year-old wearing 00, he got pulled after letting 4 goals in his first period. And all 3 of those guys went on to be, you know, to different degrees, very good goaltenders for the Sabres, or in Hasek's case, the greatest goaltender of all time. Miller's case, you know, Sabre Hall of Famer. You know, don't make your sole assessment of Levi based on this game, but it will certainly be exciting. It is the thing to watch for. I will tell you the thing that you're going to notice with Levi, if you haven't watched a lot of him in Northeastern or even a lot of his highlights, you're going to notice the quickness. You're going to notice the athleticism. You're also going to notice, wow, this guy's not that big, does not take up much of the net. He might not even look like an NHL goaltender to you. He might look like a kid out there wearing pads, but he is so fast side to side. He is so good with his angles. You know, he's very well polished for a goalie prospect. Not like some of these big raw guys the Sabres have had over the years, like Lukanen, of course. And remember what Linus Ullmark was like at the start, where he was flopping around all the time. Those guys were big and raw. Levi is small and polished. And I think he, because of his style and his size, the way he has to be good, I think he might translate quicker to the NHL than guys like that, especially UPL. So very exciting. Levi against the Rangers. I'll have a bet for you on Levi. It's one of my sneaky good bets on tomorrow's show, so stay tuned for that. Got to wait for some prop bets to drop over at FanDuel, especially when it comes to Devin Levi. When we come back, how much do we want to – I don't even want to say blame. How much do we think Tage Thompson's injury – or injuries have been affecting him for the last 4 months? Let's explore that when we come back. Thompson, his production, first half, first, second half, injuries, all of it. The expectation. I want to break down Thompson's game a little bit coming back before we get some mailbag stuff a little bit later on in today's show. That's coming up on the Locked On Sabres podcast. We are presented by FanDuel. Tournament's heating up. We're at the Final Four. There's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon, sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet, and then you can wager on everything, money lines, over-unders, point spreads, puck lines for hockey, of course. If you want to bet on Devin Levi tomorrow, over-under saves, that's not out yet, but you'll be able to do that on Friday. And, of course, you can bet on which team will be cutting down the net. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So do not miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Sneaky Joe DiBiase back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen. All right. We have an update on Tage Thompson from the morning skate on Thursday. Thompson was not on the ice. He was not taking line rushes. Casey Mittelstadt still in his spot on the top line. And Granato called Thompson a game time decision on Friday. My guess, I mean, we'll know on Friday morning more, but my guess would be he plays. Complete guess, might be 50-50 right now. I might be leaning towards he plays. That's how Granato sounded to me on Tuesday when he talked with me and Jeremy White on WGR, that he just wanted to give him that extra rest. And because of the way the schedule worked out, if he gave him off on Monday, he'd give him 5 days off. I think Thompson's going to play, but I guess we'll see come Friday. But what I really want to talk about with Thompson is the more macro scale, expectations, and breaking down his season. We'll do more of this after the season is over, but two numbers I wanted to point out that I think could drive a conversation about Thompson, and I think I have a good comparison to Josh Allen for this. To start with that, if you're a Bills fan, like I say, a lot of Sabre fans are, most Sabre fans are, what is it, 95%? Josh Allen had an incredible start to the 2022 season for the Bills. Then he got hurt against the New York Jets, had an elbow injury. He didn't miss any time, played through it, and he was still good in the second half of the year, but not nearly as good. And it came out a lot after the year how much the injury had been bothering him. He didn't have wasn't able to throw the ball at the same angle that he typically was able to because of the strain on his elbow. And Allen got some benefit of the doubt for, all right, your play dropped a little bit in the second half of the year, but we know this happened to you. We know this elbow injury happened to you. So we're willing to give you a little bit of a pass on that. Should we do the same thing with Tage Thompson when it comes to his expectations going forward? And this isn't even really much of a talking point right now, so maybe I'm making something out of nothing. But look at Thompson's splits. Look at first half of the year versus second half of the year. Tage Thompson in the calendar year of 2022, excuse me, not the calendar year, the first October, November, December of this season, the 2022 part of this year, Thompson in 34 games played had 27 goals, 24 assists for 51 points. That is 1.5 points per game, 1.5 points per game in 34 games in October, November, December. January, February, March, in 38 games, Thompson has 17 goals, 10 fewer goals, 21 assists, 3 fewer assists, and 38 points, 13 fewer points in 4 more games played, which comes to exactly a point a game player. Again, still a really good player. Great, even. An 82-point pace. But that's a drastic drop. It really is. It might not sound like a lot, but it's a 50%. Actually, maybe more than that. I'm not doing the right math in my head right now. But it's a big drop from the first half of the year to the second half of the year. And I think I want to give Thompson a little bit of credit for still being a point of game player when I've actually had this tweet in my drafts that I never sent. And this was from like 2 months ago that said, every time I'm watching Tage, he just doesn't look the same for the first half of the year. He doesn't look right. He was falling easier for a while. He didn't look as fast. He didn't look as willing to go over the middle of the ice. He didn't look as physical. Again, the vision is so good. The hands are so good. The shot is so good. He's still a point of game player, but I think something's been off with him for the last half of season, honestly. And I don't think I'm making something out of nothing. I think we have enough evidence now that he left 2 games with injury earlier in the year, the last 38 games. And he's out now with this injury. I wonder if we're going to find out after the year, something's been nagging him for a while. Because that will go to the conversation that I'm sure we'll have in the offseason of what is fair to expect from Thompson going forward. Is he the first half of the year Thompson, which is a 100-point player, hot pat point a game, point and a half per game, a guy that is a unmitigated superstar, or is he a point-a-game player that is more of an all-star? Superstar, all-star. 100-point player, point-a-game player. What is fair to expect from Thompson year to year to year going forward? I still want to leave it the door open to this guy is a 50 goal scorer. This guy is on the Austin Matthews level because that really, he's above Jack Eichel. That's how we were talking about him in the first half of the year. And he was in every SportsCenter top 10, all these highlight reels. And that has gone away a little bit, maybe even a lot. He's still putting up numbers, but that wow factor of, oh my God, can you believe this guy? MVP race, Rocket Richard race. Like it's different. It's different in the last 3 months than it was in the first 3 months. I just wanted to point that out because now that he's dealing with this injury, it adds to the evidence. If I were a lawyer, I would be building a case that Thompson's been dealing with an injury. And maybe we won't know for sure until after the season. Maybe we'll never know for sure. But this injury he's dealing with now, I think, only adds to that case that he's something's been nagging him. The back, I think, was what it was at first. I don't know what it is right now. I don't know if we've been told what it is right now. But it was the back. So we'll see if Thompson plays on Friday night and what he's able to do the rest of the season. And again, what we'll find out after the year. All right, time out here when we come back. Mailbag. I got three questions from you, the listeners, coming up here on the Lockdown Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase. And we are brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat and don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. Built's are so good. For starters, they're 100% covered in real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, cookie dough, peanut butter, brownie. Coconut almond is even good. And I hate coconuts and almonds, but I love that flavor and I eat it all the time. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box because for years I've been telling you, go to built.com, order your Built bars there. But now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Just head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk into the pharmacy section. You grab yourself a 4-bar box of Built bars. Or if you're close to a Sam's Club, run in, grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors like brownie batter, churro. And again, my favorite, cookie dough with the real pieces of cookie dough right in there underneath the chocolate. You can thank me later with Built bar. Final segment here on the Lockdown Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase. All right, a mailbag edition of or segment of today's show. And we will start this one off with Mike George on Twitter, who asks, is Max Domi worth looking into as a UFA in the offseason? Now, Max Domi is an unrestricted free agent at 28 years old. This season with Chicago and Dallas, pretty good year. 19 goals, 35 assists, 54 points. But I don't think the Sabres will be in the market for any outside forward addition. I think they are already deep enough. They've got kids on the way. We're already struggling to make room for Jiří Kulich and I guess Lukáš Rosek, but Matthew Savoy more so. I don't think there's really room, and I don't see the need. You know, he's fine. He's a 50-point player on a good year. He had that 172-point season in 2019, but other than that, actually, this is his second highest total at 54 points. That's about Casey Mittelstadt offensive production. I don't think you need another guy like that. I know he does more than Mittelstadt in terms of physicality and defense, but I don't think there's room, honestly, for any forward addition like that. So I'm out on that. I'd rather invest the Sabres' effort and cap dollars in a defenseman of that caliber. So I'm a no on Max Domi personally. Next question from Joseph Stapleton. Assuming the Sabres pick 12 through 15, who do you want them to take in round one? And also, who's your pick to win the Masters? Sabres pick 12 to 15. Honestly, so far away from the draft. I just don't even have a thought to it. Those guys, you know, they'll take time. I'll probably gather an opinion on them a little bit later on. I took this question, though, because I do want to answer the Masters part of it real quick. I am going to go with Rory. I think he's finally going to break through. He's been striking the ball better than anybody all year. So little golf question, always love to take it. I'd go Rory McIlroy to get his first major in basically 10 years. Long drought, just like the Sabres. And finally, from Jacob, you get to significantly upgrade one of the three following players under contract going into next season. Olsson, Jokiharju, Comrie, who do you pick? For me, that's an easy one. I'm good with Jokiharju. You know, like, in an ideal world, I'd like him to be on the third pair, not the second pair. Olofsson, yeah, I'd like to upgrade from Olofsson. I'd like a more complete player playing in the bottom six than Victor Olofsson, who really can only shoot the puck. Comrie, that's an obvious one. Comrie, I mean, I can have Jokiharju on my team. I can have Olofsson on my team, even if it's not in the roles that they're in right now. Comrie, I know he's played well the last two games. I can't have him on my team. I would not do it if I were the Sabres. He's got to be gone. I don't know if they'll actually follow through on that, but that's an easy one for me. If you get an upgrade in goal from this year to next year, to me, that is the most improvement the Sabres could have from one year to the next in order to try and make the playoffs. All right, more mailbag questions always available to you at Locked On Sabres on Twitter or on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On and Locked On Sabres. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us there. But that's going to do it for us. We'll preview Sabres and Rangers tomorrow. We'll talk more about Devin Levi. Hopefully we'll have news for you. We'll have it confirmed on what's going to happen with Tage Thompson. So all that coming your way on Friday. Plus, I want to get into a little bit, nothing, you know, I don't want to be too Debbie Downer, but the Sacramento Kings of the NBA made the playoffs for the first time since 2006. So we got to talk some playoff drought stuff as the Sabres are very close now to coming into a tie with the New York Jets for the longest playoff drought in professional sports. We'll talk more about that though on tomorrow's show. Thanks for everybody for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your next listen. Locked On Game to Game. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NHL with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NHL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.